Thank you, Marcia. This is a day where I'm preaching at all the morning worship services, so I will be preaching the message at this time. And we have just heard the word read and proclaimed. And I'd like to invite us all to read this ninth chapter of the Gospel of John. There is so much wonderful teaching there that gives us so much truth. Words like Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," and what that means to us today. But I want to offer a prayer as we prepare to hear the message today. Dear God, we thank you for your word, for this blind man who was given sight through the power of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will have sight in a spiritual way. Open our eyes, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is Father's Day, and I want to extend to all the fathers a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone. Happy Father's Day. We are glad that you have chosen to be a part of worship here at the 11 o'clock hour at Shalimar. I am a father. I have three daughters. And my ideal perfect Father's Day, if I had one, would be to watch baseball and to have some boiled peanuts boiling in the background. So I don't know that that will happen. I do know that the College World Series is going on tonight. And I'm pretty happy and excited about that. The Final Four didn't go like I hoped it would go in the end, but I'm still holding out hope that Auburn can make a statement here in the World Series. At 8 o'clock, I heard the same reaction. There must be some Florida State fans here, or some Arkansas or Mississippi State fans here, possibly so. Michigan and Texas Tech. I'll try to get them all out there. But it should be interesting. You know, in baseball, it's fascinating. For some people, it's too slow paced for folks to appreciate the game. But I've always liked baseball. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of things that had to happen. For instance, we've seen the play where there's a close play at home plate and there's a cloud of dust from a slide and everybody's waiting to see whether the umpire is going to go safe or out to determine the game. And we've seen that and it's exciting. But there's also the scenario where the runner is safe by a mile and there's no anticipation of the call because everybody knows the runner is safe. But have you ever paid attention to the umpires are always watching the bases? Even in the midst of a celebration, the home plate umpire will make sure the runner touches home plate. And there have been a few occasions in the history of baseball where there has been a wild celebration at home plate, but the team on their toes throws it to first base, and they'll say, "He missed first base," and it'll be an out. First base has to be touched to score a run. Second base, third base, and home plate. And in our launching of this series, Discipleship Roadmap, that is perhaps one of the connections we are making, is that ultimately we want everybody to go to heaven. We want everybody to know the good news of Jesus Christ, salvation. We want everybody to live as his disciple in this world and to walk with Jesus every day. But there's some basics that we need not miss. And one of those basics is we need not miss first base. If we make the parallel that touching first base is like our relationship with Jesus Christ, having a relationship, confessing to the Lord Jesus Christ our sins and receiving his salvation, honoring Christ with our lives as both Lord and Savior. That is a very basic moment of salvation. And we, as a church, that is what we are here for. We are here to help people have that moment of salvation that can change not only a lifetime, but change even eternity. So we honor and we seek to have those moments where we celebrate with each other when someone comes to know the Lord. And we are also about making disciples. And this means we are invited to be a disciple and to help make disciples as we walk with Jesus. This is why we're here. This is the most important mission in the church, is making disciples. Would you agree with that? And that is why we are here. That is our reason for existence. And so it seems, as I've reached out to others, as some of you have reached out, that there's a lot of churches that are seeking to be more fruitful in making disciples. This is not just Shalimar. This is throughout the church. How do we make disciples? How do we live as disciples and make disciples? How can we make this more simple? How can we make this more easy for folks to understand the path? So there is seems to be a great movement among churches today to go back to that basic reason we exist. How can we be a disciple? How can we make disciples? And you'll hear this message on two levels. One is a very personal level. It's about our personal journey of discipleship. And the second is, of course, there would be nothing greater than to have a church committed to this at the same time. So we live as a disciple personally, and we're invited to make disciples as a church. This particular graphic has evolved over time. Last September, one of the priorities identified at the Alive at Shalimar event was we would like to put forth some type of roadmap or some type of path that would make this more understandable for a person, whether they've been here a long time or whether they have walked through the door for the first time this morning. Something that makes sense, something that is easy to understand. And so these are just some beginning elements. We ask for your help in this endeavor. But you see there, the cross is at the center. We know that the center of discipleship is Jesus. His salvation he offers on the cross, his good news, his challenge to go and make disciples in the world. We know this is at the center of whatever we do. And notice the arrows, they are moving. And there is movement in this discipleship. We never reach a status where we say we've arrived or we've achieved perfection. We are constantly to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So there is always movement. And this movement can be captured by three words: knowing Jesus. We all are to know Jesus. We are to grow in Jesus. And once we know and grow in Jesus, we are to cast seeds to help others grow and know Jesus. It's all interrelated. And it's quite possible that we move from one to the other fairly frequently, knowing, growing, and sowing. So you see that there is a sequence, but it's not linear. It's happening all the time, as God places on our heart, as we grow as his disciple. You see also these arrows, they are moving outward. This is not building something with a tight band in the center, though it starts from the center, but this mission of discipleship making, it goes out to the world. So we grow ourselves first. We know Christ. We grow. We seek to sow and make disciples. That's what this series will be inviting our congregation to do, and to walk with Christ, to put it in just ordinary language, to walk with Christ every day, to walk with Jesus every day in our own life. Makes a difference. in our everyday life. Now, the first question I have for you today is one that you should be able to give an answer, but just in case, you can reflect on it this week. Where are you on the discipleship roadmap? We all know we're at Shalimar. There's a nice photo of where we are. But in a spiritual sense, as we look at just a map or something, where would we place ourselves on this discipleship roadmap? Would we say something like, I am a disciple, and every day I spend time with God, and I seek God in my everyday life. He makes a difference in my everyday life. I am living as a disciple. I'm wanting to go on to whatever God has in front of me this week. That's the answer some of us would give. Some of us would say, I have lived as a disciple before, but I've drifted away from that. And I am ready to walk with Jesus each day again. So that's what we would put. Where are we on the roadmap? We are wanting to walk with Jesus again. Some of us might just say, well, I'm confused as to what it really means to be a disciple. So we're invited to draw in and have a stronger understanding. It's not real complicated. We're talking about just following the teachings of Jesus and becoming more like Jesus every day in our life. That's the path of discipleship. We may have some distractions in our life where being a disciple doesn't seem possible right now. But I'd invite us to do whatever it takes to push the distractions aside and focus on walking with Christ each day as his disciple. Where are you on this discipleship roadmap? Enter that answer somewhere where you'll see it this week. In your Bible, in your phone, somewhere, place where you are in this discipleship roadmap. And then in a few weeks, we'll ask you to, again, where are you on the discipleship roadmap? There's constant movement. Now, there's two possibilities that when we talk about this knowing, which I'll focus on today, and it'll be the focus next week, knowing. A few weeks from now, it'll be on growing, and a few weeks after that, it'll be on sowing. But we begin this week and next week on this knowing. We don't want to miss first base. You know, it's possible to know about Jesus, but not know Jesus. It's possible to know about Jesus, but not know Jesus. It's even possible to become a part of the church and to know about Jesus and not really know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. This story in the Bible where Jesus healed the blind man, it has a lot of different dynamics to it. This man had been blind since birth. Jesus showed compassion and he healed this man of his blindness. And he took his own spittle and the mud and he rubbed it in the man's eyes. And amazingly, he could see for the first time. He could see. There were religious people around. And we know that in Jesus' ministry, there was tension all the way to the cross. And it surfaced here because this miracle happened on the Sabbath and the religious people missed the miracle, missed the man was blind and could see and started looking at the fact it was on the Sabbath, starting making claims that he must be a sinner because only God can restore sight. And so they began talking to the man first that had been healed. They did not get the answers they wanted, so then they went to the neighbors. They didn't get answers, so they went to the parents, and the parents were afraid of these religious persons. And they said, well, he's of age, you can ask him. So they went back to the man who was healed of his blindness, And you know, they had looked at this situation. They had looked at it theologically. They had looked at it from a standpoint of it happening on the Sabbath. They had looked at it from a standpoint of sin, asking the questions. Even the disciples asked the questions. Why was this man born blind? Was it his parents' sins? Was it his sins? Whose sins was it? Much like the book of Job. And when the man who had been healed was asked the second time, his answer leads us to a good conclusion about the power of Jesus Christ. He said in response to this question yet again, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But what I can tell you is I was blind, but now I see." I was blind, but now I see. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Knowing about Jesus might lead us to all kinds of theological conversations. It might lead us to conversations that have no end. But the most important thing that happened to this man was he was blind and then he could see. He didn't miss that. And that's the best thing that can happen to us. That we experience this transforming power of Jesus Christ to change us, to change you and change me, to be the person that Christ wants us to be. I've had the privilege, as many of you have, of learning, of studying the Bible, of experiencing different teachings. I've had the benefit of two theological degrees. Many of you have taught Sunday school for years, and so I consider that to be commensurate to a theological degree. But the question is not knowing about Jesus. The ultimate question is knowing Jesus. You remember, those of you that have been through Disciple Bible Study, and many of you had. Many of you have gone through again and again. And one of the suggestions early on in Disciple 1 is read the Bible not as information, not just information, but read it for transformation. This word will change us. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. There are those that believe that when you are born, that by age 4, you are who you are. You don't change a whole lot. Your basic personality is set at age 4. And you just live that life out from then on. And if that is 100% true, we just as well go home, right? That doesn't leave a whole lot for the church to do. If say, well, by age 4, our basic personality is set, and then we just kind of live it out from there. But you know, our message as a church, our message of the transforming power of Jesus Christ and discipleship is a far different message, isn't it? We do believe that Christ has the power to save a life, to forgive a sinner, to heal a broken person, to heal a broken spirit. We do believe that a person that might even be many years old and have a lot of life experience can be transformed. And isn't that good news today? That through the power of Jesus Christ, we can be transformed. And that's what our discipleship calls us to. Let me share with you some words from the book, The Great Omission, by Dallas, not Dallas, this Dallas. I almost said Dallas Gray. Dallas Willard. Thank you, Brian. Dallas Willard, The Great Omission. And let me share with you something for the rest of this series that will intrigue you. Dallas Willard points out that in the New Testament, the name Christian appears three times. The name disciple appears 267 times. Does that not communicate that Jesus, and we read that in Jesus' teaching, that he calls us to be his disciples and he invites us to be his disciples? And non-discipleship has a cost. When we choose not to be a disciple, there's a cost to that. And here's what Dallas says, Dallas Willard. Non-discipleship cost abiding peace, a life penetrated by love. So when we choose not to live as Christ's disciple, we are foregoing the peace that Christ wants to bring. We are foregoing the faith that sees everything in the light of God's overriding governance for good. We are foregoing hopefulness that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances. The power to do what is right and withstand the forces of evil. In short, non-discipleship costs you exactly that abundant life that Jesus came to bring. Think about what we lose out on when we choose not to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is transformation in this word. There is transformation in the power of Jesus Christ. I think about a person today that is empty on the inside. And Christ would say to us, as he said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I think about the person that's tired. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think about the Apostle Paul when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is past and the new has come. I invite us all, identify where we are on the discipleship roadmap. Don't miss first base. This salvation of Jesus is offered to all of us through his grace. And perhaps today we need to pray that prayer that I'll lead us in just a moment. And all of us are called to be his disciple. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for that teaching from the Gospel of John, that you so loved the world, that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Perhaps there's someone here today, that's what they're ready to do. They're ready to claim you as Lord and Savior. Be with those at this point. Walk with them. We know that you walk with them. And for all of us, we pray that this week we'll walk with you as your disciple. That we will even say to one another, how is it with your walk with Christ? And we will be ready to say a word that's encouraging to one another. Lead us now to be your disciples. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, the Lord of the church. Amen.